J.J. Box is the best-selling author of 18 novels, including the incredibly popular Joe Pickett series. His novel Blue Heaven won the Edgar Allan Poe Award for Best Novel. CJ has also won the Anthony Award, the Gumshoe Award, and many others. CJ is a Wyoming native and has worked as a ranch hand, surveyor, fishing guide, small-town newspaper reporter, and editor. An avid outdoorsman, CJ has hunted, fished, hiked, ridden, and skied through Wyoming and the Mountain West. He and his wife have three daughters. Today, CJ returns to the program to speak about his newest standalone thriller, Badlands. CJ, welcome back to the Book Report.
Well, thank you for having me back. This is always fun.
So in Badlands, you've crossed the line into North Dakota. How come?
That's true, yes. Because, I'm best known for the Joe Pickett series, by the Wyoming Game Warden. There's 15 books in that. But every once in a while, about every other year, I do a standalone book outside of the series. And it's usually based, like this one, on something that is happening, something that's really captured my attention that really doesn't work for Joe Pickett kind of story. And in this case, I'm from Wyoming, and you've noticed over the last few years how many friends and relatives and others have been going to North Dakota, either moving there or working there, and that's because of the huge Bakken oil field that has just emerged from the prairie there. And I was fascinated with that because I'd been to western North Dakota many times, and it was, in my mind, it was still kind of very sleepy, kind of agricultural area, mainly, Norwegian and German farmers and little towns struggling to survive. And to imagine that area suddenly transformed into a boom town, an oil boom town, fascinated me. And I wanted to get in the middle of that, and I thought there would be pretty good fodder for a book. And December last, I went up there to Williston, which I've kind of transformed into Grimstad in the book. And Williston is kind of the beating heart of the oil boom. And this is a town that 10 years ago had less than 10,000 people and dropping. That now, as of last December, they estimated the population of 80 to 100,000, mainly men, in the Bakken oil field, and it was incredible the amount of oil that they were finding, and the atmosphere was just a new Wild West. It was about 30-1 men to women. The men were paid extremely well. A lot of them were living in temporary housing called man camps or lodges out on the prairie, and 101-mile-long trains of oil a day were going out of Williston to every part of the United States. So it was just incredible to me to see a transformation like that in such a short period of time.
You wrote that the North Dakota fracking fields and the developments are now visible from space. Is that true?
That is true. In fact, anybody who wants to see what I'm talking about can get on the internet. And NPR a couple of years ago had a story on the discoveries. And it's at night, you can't tell the difference in the light between Williston, North Dakota, Chicago, and Minneapolis because of all the oil flares, gas flares out on the prairie. It's huge.
You also wrote that Prairie, North Dakota now has rentals that exceed Manhattan. Is that true?
That is true. It's easing up somewhat. They're starting to build enough housing there that the crunch is not as bad as it was. But at the time I was there, people were renting out their houses for, $3,000 to $4,000 a month per bedroom. The guys were paying for it. It was such an economic boom that, anecdotally, the McDonald's there was paying $18 an hour plus salary or plus benefits and housing just to keep the place open 24 hours a day to feed everybody.
That's a lot of Big Macs. But okay, so regardless of your opinion about fracking, it seems to me its impact on crime, drug abuse, social upheaval, prostitution, strain on infrastructure is devastating.
Well, it's You know, what it is, it's sort of proportional, is the way the sheriff there who took me around put it. There was always a little percentage of that, just like there is in every community. But when the population swells that fast, and when you add in all the elements of, you know, young single men making, you know, $100,000 a year when they were making none previously without a lot to do, then, yeah, there's the crime elements and there are going to be people who prey in on them. And when I was there, what was happening in and around Williston, which I then fictionalized for the book, was a gang war between a motorcycle gang that ran most of the drugs in the area previously, being encroached upon by what's considered the most violent gang in America, MS-13. They were moving in and trying to take it all over. And there had been, at that point, 5 contract hits in an area that, again, like I said, less than 10 years ago, was just rolling farmland. So the juxtaposition of that kind of sudden urban crime in an area where people are named Oli and Sven fascinated me.
We're speaking with CJ Box on the Book Report. Well, introduce us to Cassie Duell.
Well, Cassie Duell is a 36-year-old single mom, widower. Her husband was killed in the Afghanistan war, and she was introduced in The Highway, which came out 2 years ago, which is by far the creepiest, scariest book I've ever written. But I really liked her character, and in this book, she's offered a job as chief investigator in Bakken County, North Dakota, and she takes the job because it doubles her salary, and she knows she'll be able to take care of her young son, Ben, and her mother who's living with her. So we see this area in North Dakota through her eyes as she takes the job, moves from Montana to North Dakota, and she's immediately thrust into the middle of this gang war because the sheriff kind of surreptitiously asks her to investigate these killings as well as to find out if there's corruption within his own department.
You know, Cody Hoyt, who I loved, is remembered after a fashion in this novel. How did your loyal fans react to the end of The Highway?
Some were quite upset with what happened in that book. Others, I got an awful lot of new readers because of that book. People who, look at a 15-book series and get a little intimidated and thought they'd start with one that was different. So it's made quite an impact, but a lot of people miss Cody Hoyt. But Cassie Duell always kind of keeps him in mind when she gets into a struggle about what would he do and how would he handle it.
Right. You know, in the Badlands, the extreme cold of the North Dakota winter seemed like a vengeful character in the book. Did you actually go to North Dakota in the winter for research?
I did. I was there when I was doing the research for the book. I was there in December, and there were a couple days where it dipped down to about 30 below. And it's a different kind of cold than what I'm used to in the Mountain West. It's a lot more humid and a lot more bone chilling. And it's a huge issue there because there's so many people working outside every day. One of the interesting facts I learned when I was there is that that particular county, Williams County in North Dakota, is number one per capita in the sales of Carhartt clothing and Corvettes. So that kind of gives you an idea of the impact.
Wow. Okay, Badlands, the audio edition, is narrated by January Lavoie. All of your Joe Pickett books are performed by David Chandler. Did you have a voice in selecting a woman to perform this novel, and was it because Cassie Duell is the main character?
Well, I did not have I didn't know who the narrator would be, but when I listened to the excerpts, when they sent them to me, I loved it. I thought it was perfect. I love her voice, and I love the fact that it's narrated by a female protagonist.
Right. You know, in preparing for this interview, I read you're a fan of Teddy Roosevelt, and I share your passion. What is it about Teddy that intrigues you?
Well, I think I've read just about everything I can about him over the years, and what in particular, the part of his life, even before he was president, fascinates me even more than when he was, because of the tragedies he went through and the way he handled it and the way he basically became Teddy Roosevelt in North Dakota when both his wife and his mother died on the same day. He went into a black depression and just went west to North Dakota and started a ranch. And here's this, you know, New York blue blood out on a ranch with a bunch of cowhands, and it really did form his personality. And he later said, in fact, that he was a boy until he went to North Dakota and became a man. And because this all takes place in the same general area of where his ranch was in the Badlands of North Dakota, I was able to finally incorporate some of that into a book, which I love to do.
Hmm. You know, I just have one word to say about the end of the book, and that is cliffhanger.
Oh, well, yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So
yes,
there's
an open thread that continues throughout the entire book that will continue.
All right, so when can we expect Cassie back again?
Probably 2 years. Every other year is when the standalones come out, and I'm already kind of formulating the next plot.
Mm. Okay, and you're also going to come out with a new Joe Pickett novel?
Right. I'm working on that right now. Just about done with it. It should be out next March, and it's called Off the Grid.
Mm.
It's more of a Nate Romanowski novel, which means a very high body count.
And lots of mystery. Okay, CJ, I loved Badlands. It gets two thumbs way up. Thanks so much for stopping back in.
Well, thank you very much. I sure appreciate you having me back.
Okay, bye.
Bye.